What if I told you that spending $60 on plastic champagne flutes is actually the smartest way to save money on an adult birthday party?
I mean, it sounds completely backward, doesn't it?
It really does. You'd think, that money should just go into a massive catered spread or maybe a venue rental.
Right, exactly.
But today, we are looking at a masterclass in event design that completely flips the script on how to celebrate.
And it is a script that desperately needs flipping because let's face it, when most people are tasked with throwing a birthday party for a grown adult, panic sort of sets in.
Oh, absolutely. Total panic.
Yeah, and they instinctively default to the exact same formula they'd use for like a 7-year-old. You run to the store, grab a handful of primary colored streamers, inflate some random
They're
balloons.
taping them to whatever surface is available in the living room.
Right, and you just cross your fingers that the expensive wine you bought does the rest of the heavy lifting.
And despite the expensive wine, the room still somehow feels like a glorified play date.
Yeah, it really does.
But we are fixing that today. Our mission for this deep dive is decoding exactly how to style a chic, professional-looking adult birthday party for 20 guests for under $300.
Which is an amazing price point.
It is, and doing it without it feeling like a kid's party in disguise, which is key.
Definitely. To do this, we're relying on a fantastic insider breakdown by Maya Goldstein. She is a senior event designer at Party Boutiques in Thornhill, Ontario. And she spends her days engineering the aesthetics for corporate galas, weddings, and these major milestone birthdays all across the Greater Toronto area.
Okay, let's unpack this because reading through Maya's framework, I realized that throwing an adult birthday party shouldn't just feel like putting fancy lipstick on a toddler's pizza party.
That is a great way to put it.
Yeah, you can't just take the kid formula and like swap the juice boxes for Prosecco. It requires a completely fundamental shift in how you view the space itself.
It really does. The fundamental shift comes down to the core philosophy of what the event is trying to achieve. Maya points out that kids' parties sell a character, while adult parties sell a mood.
A mood, right.
Yeah, think about the last time you went to a 5-year-old's birthday. The entire goal is total immersion in a loud, specific intellectual property.
Oh, I know. You have the cartoon character on the napkins printed on the plates.
Hanging as a giant pinata from the ceiling.
Iced onto the cake. It's literally scattered everywhere because you want the child to feel completely surrounded.
Exactly. It's sensory overload. It's maximum volume in every single corner of the room.
But adults don't want sensory overload. I mean, when adults attend a party, they're looking to decompress, to connect, and to have conversations.
Precisely. An adult party earns its polish through restraint. You are trying to build a sophisticated mood, and you simply cannot achieve that if your guests' eyes are darting all over a chaotic room.
That makes perfect sense. When everything is loud, nothing actually stands out.
Exactly. The transition from child to adult in event design is moving from a scattered rainbow to a very controlled, tight palette.
Restraint is what signals luxury. So, to create that sophisticated mood without blowing a massive budget, you have to physically concentrate your resources, right?
You do. You can't try to decorate the living room, the kitchen island, the hallway, and the guest bathroom. You have to focus your efforts on one specific area.
Which Maya calls the professional focal wall.
Right. Instead of spreading a thin, cheap layer of decorations everywhere, you consolidate your entire budget into one confident, styled statement.
So what does that actually look like?
Well, the strategy here is strict. You pick a tight palette of just two or three colors, and you build a single impressive wall where the cake or the bar sits.
Okay.
You put your money into a substantial balloon garland, a high-quality foil backdrop, and those massive milestone number balloons.
Now, I have to admit, when I first read this part of her strategy, I definitely had some pushback.
Really? Why is that?
Well, if you're listening right now and imagining your own living room, you might be thinking the same thing. If I'm having 20 friends over and I only decorate one single wall, isn't leaving the rest of the room entirely bare going to look a bit, I don't know, boring or unfinished?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Like, to use an analogy, is it like a museum putting a massive, brilliant spotlight on the Mona Lisa and leaving the rest of the room completely dim rather than putting cheap, tiny flashlights on every single painting in the gallery?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, your museum analogy perfectly illustrates the mechanism of why this works.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Think about how a museum directs your attention and your physical movement. If you put a cheap, dim flashlight on every single painting, the eye doesn't know where to rest.
The space feels agitated.
Exactly. The patron just wanders aimlessly. By putting that massive spotlight on one masterpiece, you anchor the entire room. In a party setting, a single focal wall does exactly that.
It tells people where to look.
It tells them where to be. It creates a natural gathering point. Humans are instinctively drawn to the most visually interesting part of a room.
Right.
So by building this one concentrated area, it organically dictates where people congregate, where the toasts happen, and crucially, it provides a dedicated photo moment.
Yes. The photo moment.
Yeah.
Which is basically the enduring legacy of the party.
Without a doubt. When people remember an event weeks or years later, they're almost exclusively referencing the photos they took.
So true.
If you have one perfectly styled backdrop, every photo looks like it was taken at a high-end venue, even if it's just a condo in King West or a backyard in Vaughan. But there is also a massive logistical benefit to this that Maya highlights.
Which is the stress factor, right? Mm. Because decorating is usually the absolute worst part of hosting.
Oh, 100%. When you're focusing on one wall, using air-filled balloon garlands and foil backdrops, meaning no helium, these elements last for days.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about the helium issue.
Yeah, they don't deflate or droop after a few hours like standard helium balloons. You can build this entire masterpiece focal point the night before. You're completely eliminating the day of decorating panic.
That is a game changer.
It really is. When the day of the party actually arrives, your only real job is to chill the drinks and get dressed.
Okay, so we're building this museum-quality focal wall. We're avoiding the trap of scattering streamers on the ceiling fans. But let's talk about the reality of pulling this off.
Let's do it.
Because we promised a budget under $300 for 20 guests. And if you're listening right now and doing the mental math for your own space, $260 Canadian for balloons and party supplies might sound a bit steep at first glance.
Sure, I can see how people might think that.
So where exactly is that money going?
Maya provides a very transparent breakdown based on the actual shelf prices at party boutiques.
Right.
A fully styled setup for 20 guests runs about $260 Canadian.
Right.
And the way she divides that budget up is fascinating because it reflects that philosophy of restraint.
So break that down for me. What's the heaviest investment?
Almost half your money, about $119. So 46% goes entirely to that focal wall.
Okay. Wow. That's a huge chunk.
It is. But that buys you a 116-piece balloon arch kit, extra latex balloons to make it look lush and full, a gold foil backdrop, and two massive 34-inch foil number balloons.
Right. The numbers.
Yeah. Maya points out that those number balloons, which run about $17.99 each, are the absolute most cost-effective way to highly personalize the event.
So basically $120 just for the wall. That's the spotlight on the Mona Lisa.
Exactly. Then you dedicate about a quarter of the budget, around $63, or 24% to the bar and drinks decor.
Okay, got it.
After that, you've got 16%, so about $41, going to lighting and extras. And the remaining 14%, about $37, covers all the tableware for 20 people.
Here's where it gets really interesting. When you look at those numbers, a huge chunk of the budget, around $100, is going just to the bar and the lighting.
Yep.
Which brings me back to my hook at the very beginning of the deep dive. Why spend nearly $63 on things like 40 plastic champagne flutes and a foil cheers balloon?
It's a fair question.
Right. Couldn't I just use the mismatched wine glasses I already own, let people grab a drink from the fridge, and put that $60 into making the balloon arch even bigger?
You could theoretically do that, but you would be sacrificing the very essence of the adult mood we talked about. Maya is adamant that the bar and the lighting are the precise non-negotiable elements that separate an adult party from a kid's party.
Really? The bar is that important?
Absolutely. Let's think about the flow of an adult gathering. The bar is a magnet. It naturally dictates the flow of traffic. When guests arrive at your house, where's the first place they gravitate toward?
Definitely the kitchen. Usually hovering right around the island trying to figure out where the drinks are.
Right. So if you intentionally elevate that specific station, you elevate the entire guest experience. Buying 40 matching high-quality plastic champagne flutes instantly signals to your guests that this is a grown-up celebration.
Not just a casual Tuesday night pizza drop-in.
Exactly. It changes their posture. It changes how they hold themselves in the space. And hanging a giant cheers champagne bottle foil balloon over that table visually marks it as the destination.
That makes a lot of sense.
Maya argues that the champagne toast is the emotional peak of the night. It's the moment guests actually remember, you're funding a core memory, not just buying cups.
It's the ritual. You're buying the ritual of the toast. Mm-hmm. When you frame it like that, investing in the bar makes total sense. You want that moment to feel intentional.
100%.
But let's talk about customizing this, because the budget structure, Maya, outlines the heavy investment in the focal wall, and the bar stays the exact same, whether you're hosting 10 people or 20.
Yes, the framework is identical.
But obviously, a 30-year-old's party and a 50-year-old's party shouldn't feel identical. If I'm designing a 30th birthday and then a few months later and I'm designing a 50th, how do I shift the vibe without leaning into those really tacky, over-the-hill joke tropes?
Oh, please avoid those tropes. But that is where the beauty of a tight 2 or 3 color palette really shines.
Okay, so it's all about the colors.
Mostly, yeah. The physical structure of the room, the focal wall, the bar, the lighting remains identical, but the colors and textures you choose completely re-engineer the atmosphere. Take the 30th birthday, for example.
Okay, let's hear it.
Maya highly recommends a disco and retro theme for this milestone.
I love that. It feels energetic.
It's highly photographic and playful, but because of the restrained palette, it avoids feeling juvenile. The colors are strictly black and gold.
Just black and gold. Very chic.
You incorporate a metallic fringe curtain, a giant gold disco ball or balloon, and hang some actual small disco balls. This combination gives you a glossy, high-energy nightclub vibe on a house party budget.
Wow, that sounds incredible.
It perfectly fits a crowd that is celebrating the entrance into full adulthood. I mean, they might be a bit louder, a bit more focused on snapping a million photos, but the designer polish remains because the colors are so restrained.
Okay, so 30th is loud, metallic, nightclub energy. So if we jump ahead 20 years to a 50th birthday, I'm assuming we're just dialing that same aesthetic back a bit.
What do you mean?
Like maybe swapping the high contrast gold for a muted silver and black so it's just a quieter disco?
Actually, no, Maya suggests a completely different direction. For a 50th, the energy usually requires a more profound shift than just muting the colors.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she contrasts the disco theme with what she calls a cocktail or wine night theme. A 50th milestone often calls for something geared toward an elegant, lingering dinner party rather than a loud bash.
Okay, so what's the palette for that?
You change the palette dramatically to rose gold and blush.
Oh, wow. That changes everything. That's so much softer and more intimate.
It's warm and sophisticated. And for this theme, the focus centers almost entirely on that champagne bar we discussed.
Right, leaning into the toast ritual.
Exactly. You bring in a giant 36-inch champagne model foil balloon and a beautiful cheers backdrop. You're visually signaling a sit-down storytelling evening.
That is so elegant.
You aren't trying to replicate a loud nightclub. You're replicating a high-end, exclusive wine bar where people can savor the night.
It's wild how just swapping black and gold for rose gold and blush completely re-engineers the expectation of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
It tells your guests exactly how to behave without you having to announce it.
It's subtle but very effective.
We just built this beautiful $100 rose gold champagne bar.
Mm.
But Maya points out that all of this investment is instantly vaporized if you make one massive mistake with your living room.
Oh, the lighting.
Yes, we haven't fully discussed the lighting yet. And honestly, this seems like the biggest blind spot for amateur hosts.
It is the ultimate mood killer. You can spend thousands of dollars on the most incredible custom balloon installations and imported floral arrangements. But if you leave your standard overhead kitchen lights blasting, the entire room is going to feel like a high school cafeteria.
Ugh. Nothing ruins a vibe faster.
The ultimate cheap trick to make a living room feel like an exclusive event space is swapping those harsh overheads for warm LED lighting.
So we are literally just turning off the main light switches.
You turn off the interrogation lights, yes. In that budget breakdown, about $41 went to lighting.
Right, the 16%.
Exactly. That buys things like LED tassel string lights and battery-operated tea lights. When you let those warm LEDs carry the room, the same space that hosts your mundane Tuesday night dinners transforms completely.
It hides a lot of sins, doesn't it?
Soft lighting hides all the everyday flaws of a house, the scuff marks on the baseboards, the mail on the counter, and focuses all the attention directly onto the glowing focal points you've built.
Okay, but when I think of warm, intimate, high-end lighting, my mind immediately goes to real candles. You know, taper candles running down a table, votives scattered everywhere. It feels very luxurious.
It does look luxurious, but Maya drops a very strict safety rule here that you absolutely cannot ignore.
Okay, what's the rule?
You must use battery-operated LED tea lights and string lights when you are decorating near balloons and paper backdrops. You have to remember the physical materials you were working with.
Right, balloons pop.
And melt. Latex and foil are highly susceptible to heat, and paper fringe is incredibly flammable.
So what does this all mean? To put it in perspective, mixing real open flame candles with a wall of latex balloons and paper fringe is basically like bringing a campfire into a paper mill.
That is exactly what it's like.
The heat distortion alone is going to warp and ruin the look before a fire even starts. One stray draft or one guest bumping a table in your beautiful photo wall is a disaster.
That's a great way to visualize it. Just stick to the LEDs. Modern battery-operated tea lights have a beautiful, flickering amber glow that mimics fire perfectly.
And no one really notices the difference anyway once the lights are low.
They really don't. You get the exact same sophisticated aesthetic benefit with zero risk. You don't have to spend your own birthday party dealing with the anxiety of watching a candle slowly burn down next to a plastic champagne flute.
Okay, so let's wrap this all up into a neat, actionable package for you listening right now. Throwing a professional-level adult birthday party isn't about throwing money at every single corner of a room.
Not at all.
It is about strategic restraint. You build one stunning focal wall using a tight two-color palette. You heavily invest in creating a dedicated bar area with quality champagne flutes to signal the adult nature of the event.
And you tailor those colors to the decade.
Right. Black and gold disco for a 30th, rose gold elegance for a 50th. And finally, you turn off the big overhead lights and let safe LED lighting create the mood. All of this, beautifully styled for 20 people, for about $260 Canadian.
It's a highly empowering master plan. It proves that designer aesthetics are entirely accessible if you just understand the psychology of how people experience a room.
And if you are ready to execute this exact master plan for your next milestone, you don't even have to hunt for all these pieces across 5 different stores.
Nope, you can get it all in one spot.
Exactly. You can get everything we talked about today in one place. If you're in the Greater Toronto area, you can visit Party Boutiques in person. They're located at 7724 Yonge Street, Thornhill, Ontario, L4J1W2.
Or you can check them out online at partyboutiques.ca.
Yeah, you can go there to request custom event design and decoration, or just purchase all the party supplies we mentioned to build it yourself.
What's fascinating here is that when we strip away the balloons and the metallic fringe, hosting isn't just about buying things. It's really about engineering an experience.
Engineering an experience. I like that.
By thoughtfully placing a bar or choosing a specific quality of light, you are curating a feeling of connection.
That is such a profound way to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And it leaves me with this final thought for you to ponder long after we sign off.
Let's hear it.
When you control the lighting, and when you purposefully focus a room's attention onto one beautifully styled wall, you aren't just decorating. You are actually directing human behavior.
Wow. Yeah, that's true.
Think about it. How does physically curating a space, moving the light, anchoring the room, change the very way your friends and family interact with each other? It's a kind of psychological magic disguised as party planning. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
It's been a pleasure. Good luck with your next event. We'll see you next time.